Leaders.
New media versus old media. No news is bad news. A plan to fund journalism with cash from big tech has become a fiasco.
3 years ago, journalists took unusual interest in an amendment to Australian competition law. The News Media Bargaining Code, passed in 2021, obliged Google and Facebook to pay news outlets when search results or social media feeds linked to their articles. Some wondered why the tech firms owed publishers money just for linking to their sites, but such doubts were quickly forgotten when the code wrung more than $100 million out of the two tech giants in its first year. Other places rushed to copy it. Brazil, Britain, Canada, South Africa, and California have explored similar measures. The rationale for the bargaining code was always dubious. Forcing one company to pay another for linking to its site undermines a basic principle of the internet, not to mention free speech. It is hard to believe that news outlets are harmed by links to their stories appearing on Google and Facebook, the internet's most powerful discovery mechanisms, especially when most news organizations have teams of people dedicated to making their stories spread as far as possible on the platforms. Nor is it clear why news publishers alone deserve to be paid for links when no one else is. Bargaining codes look uncomfortably like a shakedown of foreign tech firms, urged on by domestic media sore about being outcompeted in the digital advertising market. Now the codes are backfiring. In Canada, which passed an Australian-style law last year, Google opened its checkbook again, but Facebook's parent company, Meta, called the government's bluff and blocked news links from being shared on its platforms rather than paying up. For 9 months, there has been a news blackout on Facebook and Instagram, where a third of Canadians go to stay informed. The news ban has been ruinous for the outlets the law was meant to help. Some small sites which rely on Facebook as their main means of distribution have lost more than half their audience. It has harmed Canadian readers too. Some have resorted to sharing screenshots of headlines. Others are posting links to influencers or alternative news sources not covered by the blackout. There are signs of an uptick in misinformation, just as campaigners gear up for a general election next year. The one party unaffected is Meta itself. Facebook and Instagram are being downloaded and used by just as many Canadians as before the blackout. The company's ad revenue does not seem to have been dented. It has long argued that news is of little value to its platforms, whose users prefer frothier fare. Unfortunately for journalists, and perhaps society, that has turned out to be true. Meta is now taking a harder line elsewhere. In Australia, where it reluctantly paid up when the code was introduced, it now says it will not renew its deals with publishers. If a standoff ensues, it may well calculate that it has nothing to lose from another news blackout. Canada's government and some news organizations blame Meta for the disastrous outcome there. Ministers have vowed to pursue the company for allowing users to share news through loopholes like screenshots, amending the law if necessary. This is desperate and wrong. If governments want to subsidize ailing news organizations, they should be honest about it, rather than imposing a spurious duty to pay on a more successful industry. Publishers should drop the comforting fiction that the tech giants stole their advertising revenue unfairly and owe them millions for linking to their stories, and other countries thinking of copying Australia's code should look at Canada's experience, take their draft proposals, and spike them.